How was your trip home?
It was good. Very productive. Was able to meet with the president. Was able to see some family members I haven't seen in years, cousins and aunts. It was almost restoring their faith because we haven't had any contacts with one another, and they tell other people, oh, you know, that's our nephew, that's our cousins, and they say, well, if that's your cousin, nephew, how come you're living in this condition? And people didn't believe them, and just to pop up on them the way I did, you know, they were rejoicing and, you know, thanking God, and so it was really pleasing.
You were, what, nine, I think you said when you left, or?
I left 92. I got to this country in 94, but we left around 92 to get to the Ivory Coast at the time.
Oh, is that right?
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
Tom, what inspired you to do this now?
Sometimes I'm very sporadic. Sometimes I just get up and do things, and I've been traveling. I love traveling, and I've been around. The year before, I went around, went to Dubai, Tokyo, you know, saw the country a little bit, the world a little bit. And this year, after a few trips, I just thought, you know, maybe I go back home because the Chiefs gave me some time off because I've been rehabbing. And I said, maybe I go home for a few days and just see how the country is and be there in the physical, just to see, because I haven't been back in it. And then when I got there, I was able to do way much more than I anticipated.
What was your biggest surprise or the biggest sort of takeaway from being there? What stays with you that you hadn't thought of?
There's roads. We got, you know, before it was all dusty type of roads. Now we have, you know, real roads that can get you to places. Where I live is about 3 hours on a real good road, but it'll take you 6 hours before with the type of roads we used to have.
What goes through your head when you see your former house? And then we follow along on social media, you can see the house you grew up in. What's going through your mind when you kind of see that and get to go back there?
Well, it's still standing, you know, with all the war and everything that's happened, it's still there. And you know, you remember where I used to take my bath on the side of the house and where I was at the time when the fighting started. And you saw, you know, it was reminiscent. It's, you know, it felt good. And especially having the people that's related to me there to also, you know, be able to remember what I remember. So it's not like I'm making it up. So they remember when I remember, they remember. So we were kind of like, you know, reminiscing the entire time. But it felt good, you know. They're living, I'm living, and it felt good.
Do you ever think about if you hadn't gotten away, how different your life would have been like?
Yeah, I always remember I always wanted to join the fighting. You know, I wanted to do that because I was a child and everyone was doing it. And my brother wouldn't let me. He did it for a little bit, but he wouldn't let me. But I may be dead. I mean, I don't think I would be living. I don't really see how life would be if I would have stayed and fought, because there's all the people I knew as friends, they're dead.
Tom, just to be clear, when did you get there and when did you come back?
Oh, so I left on a Friday of last week. I got there on a Saturday at 4, and then I left on a Wednesday and got back here on a Thursday at 7 at night.
When you got there, like, what kind of, how much love did you get, you know, from people? Like, what was that like, man?
Well, it's different. Like, the people didn't know me there. You would think like they knew football. They didn't really know who I was there. And so we hit the radio station for about 3 hours, a couple TV stations. But some people knew about me, but they didn't know, you know, who, you know. So the love, at first it was cool. Like once people started to know, oh, this guy plays in the U.S., he plays football. And they associate that with soccer. And then once they start to kind of come along a little bit, or they read and see some highlights because they all have little phones, then they start realizing I played a little basketball with one of the security guards that was carrying me around in his neighborhood, and you know, we had a huge surrounding. A lot of people came around. We went swimming on the beach. A lot of people was just following us in his neighborhood. But as far as the awareness of who I am in, as far as the sport goes, no, there wasn't that, you know.
How much work had to go into planning this trip, you know? And, like, I can only imagine that, you know, you got to take a call. Like, I'm just curious, how much work?
Not much. The way I work, I don't sit down, and there are people that are gifted in that way. If it is a trip that I feel like that needs that, then I will do it. But I don't plan that way. I got up and I called my dad. Hey, Dad, I want to go to Liberia. You want to come? And he's like, sure, you know. And it worked out because he had a whole week off from school. And I called my brother. He said, yeah, let's do it. And before doing it, though, I spoke with my agent. Their concerns, you know, they had concerns. We reached out to Secret Service people because there was kidnapping, a disease, and, you know, we don't, you know, just stories made up. And for me, I was more interested in going. I'm like, well, if I'm going to go back home and this is where I died, then it would just be, that would be a great story. I mean, but, you know, I wasn't as worried as they were. But when you read what they sent, the Secret Service people sent, and when you read that, you kind of become wary of, maybe I shouldn't go. Maybe I shouldn't, you know, this is not wise. And, you know, and your agents keep telling you, like, you got two kids, you know, you don't want to do this, you know, you got a family now. I said, no, I can't be afraid to go back home. That's where I'm from. And we just went.
Were you ever concerned? Was there ever a moment you were concerned or anything happened that gave you a pause?
I did. After reading that report.
Well, I mean, actually, when you were actually there.
After the radio station, because we're supposed to spend 45 minutes. It was there. It was on the radio for about 3 hours. Then there are people standing outside, and then I was like, I don't know, because it's nighttime. So that was the only time I felt a little wary. And then there are people claiming they were family. Then they were outside, and that's when I was wary. But then there wasn't these guys did a great job. The security I had with me, they got me, got in the car, and we're gone. And so not like that, but just one time.
You plan to go back anytime soon, or you won't know that till a day or two before you go?
Well, I got to plan that. I have to plan that. I don't know if I'll make it there this year. I'd love to before I get back into hard training. I want to get some things done there, but I'm not in a rush. But I will be going back next year for sure.
I'm sorry. Get what done? Like, what would you like to get done?
Well, I want to bring awareness to the country. I have to sit down with my agents. I want to form. I don't formally have a foundation. And everything I do as far as giving, I just do. I don't, you know, want to bring awareness to myself because of whatever reasons. But with the country I'm from, there's needs. There's things that the country needs. And I think people can help. But if people don't know, they just can't do it. So I think I could be a great ambassador for our country back there.
Tommy, you talked about the changes in infrastructure since you had to leave your homeland. Politically, have you noticed any kind of difference? And not just in your homeland, but I mean some of the other countries of Africa, such as the Sudans and Tanzanias and so forth.
Well, I don't follow too much from a political standpoint, but as far as I know, what I know of the president, I've heard she's done a good enough job. If you get there and see how the country is, you have to say she has done a good enough job. Politics, I try, you know, Coach says stay away from politics. That's not my area of expertise, but that's not. I didn't see anything different. I believe they're doing a good enough job in Liberia, and my job there isn't to raise awareness of what's happening with the government, but more with what's happening within the country and how people can help the country.
Can we ask you a little bit about football, too? Go ahead.
Yeah, that's why I'm here.
Well, how's your rehab been?
It's been going well. I was able to do more today than I've done the entire time of rehabbing, and the time they gave me off, I think, helped because, you know, the knee is unstable, and with the scope, it's still sore, and then it gave me about 2 weeks off. I came back, and I was able to run on it, and so I think I'm progressing the way I would like.
Is there still pain in it, or...?
Yeah, I mean, it's pain around my body, so.
With regard to that, how do you weigh how much longer to play? What do you take into consideration? You have all important other interests, too. How do you evaluate that every year?
I always say if I can give myself a chance to compete at a high level, and if I can still play at that level, if I can't play at that level, then there's no need to play football. And that's comparing it to these young guys that are coming in the league, because it's a young man's league. And so every year it's based on me being healthy enough and me being able to play and move as fast as these guys and being in shape, which is the toughest part of our game. If you're not in shape, you're not going to last.
How much do you weigh what you're going to feel like in 20 years?
I'm not going to tell you that.
you talked about this being a young man's league. In what ways do you feel like the rookies that this team drafts are going to have to step up defensively and help this team go to another level?
It's important. The guys we bring in this year should definitely put us where we need to go. As you can see, the organization does a great job with drafting, and we saw that last year with the corner, Marcus Peters. He changed the entire defense. You have to say that. Now, the way he played, just off the charts. I mean, you had to put him up there with the ones that play that position in the top three. I mean, he did better than most corners does in this league, and that was just his first year. So with these guys coming in, they have to understand our mindset here. We're not waiting to get anything done. We feel like our coaches have, the organization have put together a great team, and right now, it's right now. And the slogan is, it's time. You know, last year was raise the level. Now it's time. We don't have no time to wait to put together something. No, we have to do it right now. So these guys come in, they have to understand that's our mindset.
I just said last year that you guys didn't treat Marcus like a rookie. He didn't come in and act like a rookie when he first started. Just his year two, just what are the expectations for him in being, you know, one of the guys to go out there now that Sean has left to go over to Oakland, just the expectations for him from a leadership standpoint?
I mean, Marcus just got to be himself. We're not looking for him to do anything any spectacular or act a certain way. That's what Coach preached. Just be yourself and let your personality show. And that's all we expect from him. And, you know, playing good football. And that's what is expected from everyone here.
A couple more guys.
Tommy, you've been here a long time. This is going to be the first time you're coming back after a playoff win. What changes now that you got that win under your belt?
I think the guys understand what it takes to get there, and after getting that win, they realize that once we're in, we can get the job done, and it's only a month left of football, and you have to really dedicate that month to football and nothing else, and I think they believe. I think our guys believe that we can get this done, and guys are excited, and they understand what's at stake, and it's a challenge, and we all look forward to it. And it wouldn't be right if it wasn't a challenge. And, you know, playing 24 games in the year, New England does it probably every year for the past 10 years. And, you know, we have to be able to get that done here with our organization.
We'll go Herbie and then Adam, and then we'll be done.
Tommy, you and Justin Houston are pretty tight. How often have you stayed in touch with him this offseason? And do you get the sense that he will be coming back at some point this season?
I hope he does. I mean, we're all here, and this is not mandatory. I hope he does. I mean, our hope is everybody's here, and I can't tell you whether he'll be here or not. Coach will always want to focus on the guys that are here.
Adam,
but we hope for Justin to be here.
Last one, Adam.
Tom, we talked to you when you signed the new contract, and it sounded like you were kind of preparing yourself for a little bit of a reduced role maybe this year, but that was before the news about Justin came out, although you maybe knew at the time. Do you still feel that way with the uncertainty about when he's going to be coming back? Are you still maybe looking at a little bit of a lesser role than you normally play, or you feel like it's going to be a like it's been?
See, I'm a competitor, so I'm going to put myself in the best shape and want to compete. I have to leave it up to our coaches and the staff to make the decision how much they would like for me to play, how less if they don't. But being here, coach have monitored how much I played. I mean, there are games that I could have stayed in and got sacks. But I didn't because coach didn't feel that that's what's important. When we're winning, he feels like, well, you know, you don't need to play. When we're in tight games, he feels like, well, you need to be on the field. So I leave that up to coach. But my job is to put myself in a position to compete. So I leave it up to coach whether they play me more or not.